Welcome to Films Apart, the podcast where we poke fun at buried flops, unearth hidden gems, and explore timeless classics.
So grab yourself some popcorn, sit back, and let's break these films apart.
Hello and welcome. Today's episode is on Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. We are doing this film today because of it is Wednesday the 19th of February, the famous holiday celebrated all around the world, Confessions Day.
Confessions Day, yeah.
You've got any confessions, okay. Lewis?
Oh, God, no, you've put me on the spot now.
This is an interview. Have you ever murdered?
Only two people.
That's fine.
Yeah.
You've got one.
Not 33.
No, not 33.
Yeah.
No. So, let's get into the film. Let's do a synopsis.
It's about a man who confesses to killing 33 people.
Yeah, and that's it. The film's over.
So, I mean, quite simply, it's about a game show host, Chuck Barris, who's a real person. I didn't know that watching the film to begin with.
Yeah, I didn't either. Yeah, okay. I didn't know anything about the film.
And that was good that we didn't, I think. So, yeah, he's an American game show host creator who was also, as the film tells us, hired by the CIA as an assassin.
He was an assassin for sort of external affairs for the CIA during sort of set during the Cold War.
So he would go to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
He would, in fact, he was known for creating the dating game.
Yes.
And the contestants would win a holiday.
Yeah.
And as was portrayed in the film, he would take them on the holiday, and that was his kind of cover for then killing some Russian spy.
Yeah. It's based on a true person who wrote a biography.
Autobiography.
Autobiography.
Yeah.
About how confessing to all these murders and how he worked for the CIA. And it was never confirmed. It's not known whether it's true or just a lie. He's sort of He spoke on it a few times.
He has. Yeah, one time he denied it.
Mm.
But then, as far as I know, in the last couple of decades of his life, or 15 years of his life, after this film, basically, he always refused to say either way.
Yeah, he likes it to keep a mystery.
Yeah.
So it's quite fascinating.
It is fascinating. I found, when I was watching it, because we didn't know it was real, I did feel like this stuff was in his mind.
Yes.
Because the way they portrayed the CIA agent, and there's like a kind of CIA love interest as well, spy love interest, was very romantic, wasn't it? It was the sort of thing that you would conjure in your mind about kind of that sort of era.
I think especially when at the start of the film you have his character is just desperate for this female connection.
Do you think that's what it is? He's desperate for his female connection? I'm just asking.
Not the CIA thing. I think that's maybe where the love affair comes from. Maybe that is just a figment of his imagination. He's always wanting a woman to be desperately chasing him.
Yeah, it does begin with him showing all the kind of him wanting to get into different relationships, doesn't it? And he doesn't find anybody that... He's sort of a hapless lover.
Mm-hmm.
He ends up going on a series of dates at the cinema, and he's trying to snog someone, and everyone else in the cinema is like snogging someone, and he's trying it, and they're screaming, and and so you get the feeling that this guy is a bit sad, and he wants to be seen as something better than he is.
Yes,
which is an interesting theme with the idea that he's supposedly a spy.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that his life outside of the spy world was to make himself better, I guess, or to make himself to become a high achiever, was to create game shows.
Yeah.
So he worked as like a runner, I guess, or just like an odd job sort of.
I think at first he starts as like a tour guide at like a studio, and then slowly works his way up as like a manager, and then pitches some ideas to people.
The most famous of which was the dating game. Which initially they hated, but then obviously became a very big deal. And in the UK, we had Blind Date, which was based on the dating game.
Yeah. He sort of got a name for making cheap television that sort of brought down
the tone.
Yeah.
I think that was a big part of it as well, that he felt cheap.
Yeah.
Like he cheapened art, because you've got the times when he's talking about Twelfth Night and he's mentioning this stuff that he knows about higher art. But then at the same time, he's creating reality TV.
Yeah.
That's the feel of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's all smut.
Yeah, the first test footage that he shows, it's just people swearing, being all sexually, giving off like sexual innuendos, and they can't have that. Not in the 60s. They can't air that.
But to begin with, he's all for that. He wants that. That's the way he sees it. And it's entertaining. And obviously, people are entertained by it. But it's one thing being entertained in an audience, and it's another thing putting it on TV. And they tell him that he needs to clean it up.
So, Chuck Barris, played by Sam Rockwell. So he brings his sort of Sam Rockwell energy to it.
He's superb.
It's a high energy performance. Really fun to watch. It's a very fast-paced film as well, isn't it?
He's a very good actor at playing like a down-and-out genius who is also like charismatic.
Yeah.
It's a strange... He's good at playing
hated, sort of charismatic like losers, I guess. Like, they're always sort of looked down upon.
In some way.
Yeah.
But they're also quite successful. I mean, I told you about Fosse Verdon, which he did recently, which was a Disney miniseries about Bob Fosse. And Bob Fosse is like an addict, sex addict, tumultuous affairs all through his life. But at the same time, he created Cabaret, and he won Oscars, he won Tony Awards.
Some other examples, I think I mentioned when I watched it, it reminded me of him in Iron Man 2 with Justin Hammer, where he plays like a rival millionaire to Tony Stark. He's very high energy, charismatic, but he can't quite live up to the next guy. He's always trying to get a step further and just not quite able to do it. And then you have him in Jojo Rabbit as well, where he plays a sort of Nazi officer who's, I think he's basically been pulled out of war because of like a leg injury.
He's massively insecure about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so he plays insecure people, doesn't he?
Yeah, deeply insecure. But I guess his character in Jojo Rabbit's not a loser. He's a killing Nazis, so pretty cool.
But then his characters are not losers.
He sees himself as a loser.
He sees himself as a loser.
Yeah, insecure.
I mean, some people see him as a loser, for sure. Mm. But at the same time, he's also quite successful in some ways.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's always very watchable.
Yeah, definitely.
Drew Barrymore plays his main love interest.
Yeah. Drew Barrymore's great in it.
Drew Barrymore's basically Drew Barrymore.
Yeah. She just plays herself.
Plays this kind of sweet woman who, the girl next door,
who
everyone kind of wants to fall for.
Interestingly, I didn't know this before. So it's directed by George Clooney.
Yeah.
Who
I said yar. Yar.
the farmers are not fuzz. Yar. George Clooney plays the CIA agent that recruits Sam Rockwell's character, Chuck, and he directed the piece, and he also wrote the screenplay. I didn't realize Kaufman also.
Charlie co-wrote it
together. I didn't realize it was Charlie Kaufman.
I didn't realize until after the film had ended, which is interesting because that made me reflect on it more. I think if my first impressions of the film after we'd watched it were, I've just been entertained for an hour and a half, definitely.
Yeah.
It made me think, is the story of the CIA thing true? But he didn't clarify that.
And
I felt like it should have clarified it slightly more. Not being definitive about it, but I just think that that was a sign of the direction. And I think that it could have been directed in a way where we knew that actually probably his imagination, rather than is it, isn't it? That was my feelings on it. And then I found out that Charlie Kaufman had a hand in the writing, and I thought, this is definitely not true.
Yeah.
Because I hold him in such high esteem that it made me think about the film more deeply, and it made me think about his character and the whole stuff we've been talking about, the low art. So he had a need to be something more. He needed the world to see him in a different way. And so the way to do that would be to create this character.
Step away from TV because he wasn't achieving what he set out to there. I think as well, Charlie Kaufman's work, a lot of it is you sort of questioning reality.
That's my point, So that and if I'd have known that at the beginning, I probably wouldn't have had any doubts.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that, so it's interesting that I went into it not knowing that. So that's what makes me deduce, rightly or wrongly, that it's probably a fault of the direction, which on the whole I thought was pretty solid.
Yeah.
But I just felt like that was the one area where we could have been given a few more clues.
But I thought it worked nicely, just not, it never really, and as well with the interlaced, there's like interlaced documentary footage of like talking heads of people that knew Chuck, like in real life, of like people like the character Drew Barrymore plays, Penny, is I think the real woman that was constantly sort of chasing after Chuck, dating him on and off. She was in there and saying like, oh, he never really spoke about it. And then you had other characters in there speaking about if he was capable of it and things. So it's never really, they never tell you if the filmmakers feel it happened or not.
No.
I think it's just entirely down to you, isn't it?
I think it is. But do you know what? I do feel like you can make a film where you leave it open, and you can make a film where your intention is for it to be a mystery and so that the audience goes out going, was that real or wasn't that real? I just felt like it didn't...
It didn't lean into either one.
I didn't fully feel convinced that that's what it was trying to do, because if it wanted me to go out thinking it was a complete mystery, I think it would have been less romantic around the George Clooney, Julia Roberts stuff and the whole story where someone's going to kill him and he the old switcheroo.
Yeah.
You know,
it was a bit weird.
It was a bit cartoon-ish. TV, wasn't it? Yeah. So it kind of suggested that it wasn't real. But again, why go to the lengths of suggesting it wasn't real to that length? But then also not having clarity, it just didn't, that was the area that I would say was lacking.
I thought I quite liked how cartoonish it got. So I think, obviously, in my mind, none of this did happen, and they are just either delusions or stories that he's convinced himself of at some point in his life and then sort of backtracked. So I thought it was quite nice to have cartoonish sort of, like, especially when George Clooney shows up, he feels like what you'd imagine a CIA agent to be. He's just George Clooney, really, isn't he? With some glasses and a suit on.
Suave.
Yeah, suave and sophisticated.
And Julia Roberts? Sultry, sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mysterious.
Yeah.
You never know what side she's on. Just a bit of a femme fatale.
Yeah, intelligent.
Something, if we're talking about the direction, I really liked the cinematography of it, with a lot of the switches and crossovers between scenes. There's a lot of sort of match cuts and sort of bait and switches of the character where he disappears off screen and he's swapped out into a different costume very quickly with Sam Rockwell, between like game show and spy, like his spy shenanigans. I thought that was all nicely done.
Yeah, you had that 1970s kind of saccharine colours, you know, really bright, sickly colours almost, of like the game show world, and then this low-toned Cold War, you know, snowy feel to it when he was a spy, which I thought was quite good cinematography. But then also with the cinematography, I wasn't quite sure whether there was something wrong with the film when they were showing the monologues, you know, the little monologues in between.
Yeah, I don't know if that was just to really differentiate from the film.
I feel like
it's quite bleached.
It was almost like a mix of that sort of colour of the old game shows and the Cold War. I suspect that was trying to suggest something, but it just made me think, is this version broken?
I also, a bit that I enjoyed was there's a montage of where, during one of his game shows, where, what was the game show called again? Do you know the one where it's almost like a sort of X Factor type thing? They have people on singing.
The Gong Show.
The Gong Show, that's it. During the Gong Show, where there's a really bad Elvis impersonator.
Oh yeah, yeah,
singing,
yeah.
I Can't Help Falling in Love, whilst there's a montage of all these failed sort of love lives. I thought that was really good alongside this like failed love song.
It was George Clooney's first directorial effort as well.
I think it was directed really well. Yeah. I really liked it.
Overall, I was pleasantly surprised by the film. I found it entertaining. Mm. If I was going to be mean, I guess, it's around... it would be comparing it to the films around it that were written by Charlie Kaufman. Because, you know, not long before he'd done Being John Malkovich and Adaptation, which were just, to my mind... they're really brilliant films. Not everyone will agree, and that's how I feel about them. And then the one after, I think, was Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which I think is, you know, I think it's a great film. And I don't think it's a patch on those films. That's my feeling about it. It feels a bit more fluff. That's, you know, in comparison to those films.
Yeah.
It's a good film, but in comparison to those films, it feels a bit more throwaway to me. And if I hadn't seen that it was written by Charlie Kaufman, and we weren't doing the podcast, I probably would forget it quite quickly.
I felt that the fact it was a bit more silly is probably what helped me like it more.
Mm.
I think if it was like Charlie Kaufman's other work, which is quite... slow and thoughtful, I don't think it'd work, because it is a ridiculous story that I think needs to have this high energy, almost like a game show, reality TV, and be a little bit sort of wacky. I think that helps it work. I don't think it'd be quite as interesting if it was more dramatic.
I don't know whether I'd agree with that about Charlie Kaufman being slower, really. I think especially Adaptation, it's quite fast paced.
I've seen Adaptation. I'm thinking of
Eternal Sunshine is quite fast paced as well. You know, it's quite a short film, and it moves around very quickly as you're kind of going back into the world.
Whenever I think of Charlie Kaufman, I think of Anomalisa.
He's made, I would say, lesser films as the years have gone by, but I still like them.
Yeah, but I've seen Eternal Sunshine. That is a really good film, but I've not seen Being John Malkovich.
This feels very different to a to a normal Charlie Kaufman film, I would say. It's not. And maybe that's because, as you say, it was written with George Clooney, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't really know what else to say about it. There was some cameos.
During the dating game, we've got this sort of useless, sort of overweight guy besides Matt Damon and Brad Pitt, who are both sort of sat there awkwardly, quietly. And this guy gets picked out over them, and then we follow the date of Chuck Barris chaperoning them through Helsinki, I believe it is, and this guy just being relentlessly useless and being like, she's not speaking to me, you need to tell her.
You're not doing your job.
You need to make her like me. And her just this dread hanging over the whole time that, like, I wanted to date one of the other two.
I thought that was hilarious, that bit.
And it doesn't feel like it's this big cameo. It's just literally, you just see them sort of there.
You could easily miss.
Yeah. That bit was great. And then the reveal later on that he's actually a spy, and them two are dating.
And
there's the swap over, and he's traded as one of the hostages in Berlin.
Yeah, that was good. That was a laugh out loud moment.
Yeah.
I was going to say we were talking about starting a little segment. We'll see how
it
goes.
We wanted to try some segments.
We thought we'd try any other show business, which is stuff that's around the film or linked to the film in some way. One of the things I thought of for this was about the dating game.
Yeah.
So much of the film's sort of references. Was I watched a film recently called Woman of the Hour, which was directed by Anna Kendrick, and it is about the serial killer Rodney James Alcala, who was spotted whilst he was on the dating game by somebody, and that's how he got caught.
Mm-hmm.
He killed, I don't know how many people. They liken him to Ted Bundy. He's right up there with the serial killers.
He's up there.
He's up
one
there.
Of the best.
Oh yeah, he's one of the best. What an idiot! Why would you go on TV?
That's what they do. They like rubbing it in people's faces, don't they? Well. They like attention, recognition.
So that was quite a decent film.
I've not seen that, but I want to see it now.
Yeah, I would say.
Does it follow more the victim? of this woman that recognised him than the
It follows the victim. Well, no, it follows the woman who ends up, because he wins on the dating game.
Yeah,
that's what's really interesting about it.
Okay,
and so it follows the woman who's going on there and picks him.
Okay. Slowly realises that he's a serial killer.
No, and then somebody in the audience realises and then tries to, and she has a narrow escape, giving it away a little bit there. But it's worth watching. I would say that, interestingly for me, I would put that film in the same category of Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. There's similar kind of, there is similar level in my head of competency, and it's interesting that they were both debut directors by actors, you know, directed by actors. So she directed.
Is Chuck Barris in this as well?
I guess he is, but I didn't. Well, I wouldn't have known because I didn't. Yeah, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. But
interesting.
But
that's weird that so much sort of hidden controversy could be around the same game show. A serial killer was on it, and a spy hosted it.
Apparently.
But this reminded me of when we were talking earlier about there's a case actually in Wales of a serial killer.
Yeah.
In the Pembrokeshire killer. There's a really good TV series about it called The Pembrokeshire Murders. I believe it has The Pembrokeshire Murders. It's a mini series that follows the detective basically trying to find and get evidence against John Cooper, the serial killer. Luke Evans plays the lead detective.
Okay.
It's like quite a small British
That
series.
Sounds like my sort of thing.
Yeah, it's really good.
Did he kill loads then?
He killed four. 30, he was like a mass burglar as well. So he murdered four, did 30 burglaries and sexually assaulted two women. And he was just sort of, there was never enough evidence to sum him up until they found some footage of him playing on Bullseye, a British game show.
Yeah.
And he was basically wearing the clothing that they had found as evidence. His son had been put on trial for all the murders because of his son's blood, I believe, was found on this jumper of John Cooper's.
God.
And basically, nothing came of it, but everyone thought his son was the murderer. And then on Bullseye, he was seen wearing the same clothing that he'd committed the murders in, so they could link it to that and use this footage to then be able to bring in him and like interrogate him. And yeah, he was found out because of a game show as well.
And that was relatively recently, wasn't it?
In 2011, he was given a life sentence.
Yeah,
but
that's relatively
the murders recent. Were in the 1980s.
Yeah, yeah, no, so, I meant that he was caught.
So he's known as, like, the Bullseye Killer.
Yeah.
And
it occurred to me that I said, you know, that sounds like my sort of thing. And then you went on to say, and he rapes, and he does this, and he thought, and it's become, like, a bit of a theme of our
I know, it's came up a lot recently with the films we're watching.
It wasn't in Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
It wasn't. No. And it somehow made its way in. it's wriggled its way in.
God.
The reason I tell you because of this Bullseye Killer is because of, whilst he was sort of still at large, my parents used to regular in Pembrokeshire as like a holiday destination. They'd go camping there all the time. And then I would, when I was a young child in like the early 2000s, all the way up until like my teenage years. And he was only caught in 2011.
So they were there.
He could have still just decided one day, let's go do some murders, some people on hikes.
So they were there at the same time.
Yeah.
And they've definitely caught the right guy, yeah.
I assume so.
Parents have got an alibi, yeah. They're not.
I don't want to talk any further on this. No comment.
This is about confessions, after all.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a good film. I'm glad I watched a film, another Charlie Kaufman film that I'd not seen.
Mm. Were you even aware that you'd made the film?
No. Well, do you know what? In hindsight, I can remember seeing it on Wikipedia, but it was just...
It's just at the back of your head somewhere.
Yeah. And I'd heard of the name of the film, but I had no idea what the film was about. I just knew the name of the film.
Because when we were discussing what films to do over like a Confessions Day, because I was like, that could be quite interesting. Mm. And all I could really think of was like, I Know What You Did Last Summer. It's like a film about a confession. And then you said about this and it sounded perfect.
Purely by name.
Fun film.
And so we just watched it on a whim.
Yeah.
And I'm glad we did.
Yeah.
And it's worth a watch if anybody hasn't watched it.
Let's do some popcorn scores.
Go for it. Let's popcorn score it.
I'll give it quite a high popcorn score. It's my sort of film. High energy, wacky, fun characters. I'll give it a 5.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't realise that you liked it that much.
It felt very, in the style of directing and the cinematography, it felt a bit Edgar Wright to me.
Okay.
I want to watch more of George Clooney's stuff. I'm really interested to see what his other stuff is like.
It's quite political.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think it was a very competent film. I thought the performances were really good. I liked Sam Rockwell. I always liked Sam Rockwell. I thought Drew Barrymore was good. I thought the cast was good. I thought it was directed pretty solidly. I thought that the cinematography was good in some aspects and not so much in other aspects. I thought the writing was decent. Don't feel like it pulled it off for me fully. I would give it 3 out of 5.
Okay.
And I think that's partly in comparison to other films we've done.
Yeah.
And partly in comparison to some of the films that I've mentioned that Charlie Kaufman had made around it, which I would give either 5 or 4 probably.
Yeah.
And I think it's lesser than these. But I also feel like I had a look at its Rotten Tomatoes score. And it was, I think it's like in the 60s or 70s or something. And I had a look at the Rotten Tomatoes score of Woman of the Hour, the one about the dating game killer. And that's in the 90s. And what I took from that was that the Woman of the Hour is definitely overrated and this is definitely underrated.
Okay.
Like, this is a better film than I would say that suggests.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, yeah, 3 out of 5.
Yeah, so 8 out of 10.
Respectable.
Yeah.
Respectable, sorry.
I think it's good to see, like, add differences in film with this one.
Yeah.
Me, I prefer... it was just really fun to watch, I think.
Obviously, Beck listens to the podcast because she has to. And she's like, she 100% sides with you on most things.
Really?
She's like, I completely agree with Kyle. he's absolutely right. It's about entertainment. This is what it is. And I'm like, that's fine.
You're allowed. Yeah. She's like, say something, fight back.
Oh, no. I just simmer away. And he's going, I can't believe it that she's siding with him. No, but she's you've got a fan.
One fan. Everyone else I'm probably pissing off.
No, I don't think you are.
What do you mean, Sergio Leone?
I don't think you are.
No, I pissed off some of my mates.
Did you? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, this is the thing. Like, I feel like more often than not, if you're talking arty, if you're getting arty in any way, you're going to piss more people off. If you're being sort of down to earth and like, I just want to watch a good film entertainment, you're gonna make more people happy.
I'll stick to that. That'll be my.
So you and that will ultimately probably translate to, in our writing lives, you writing films that are popular, and me writing ones that mean that I will still have to work, part time.
Not at all. I think we both have very different styles of artistry, I guess, and writing, and I think it's just tone.
I'm some of the critiquing that I've been given on things that I've written in the past is like, it's too bleak, you know. It's like that's the sort of stuff that is given to me, and it isn't. And I know we've talked about this before, but like, it is a good note. It's not a bad note to listen to. Like, I might go away from it and go, well, they're completely missing the point and, you know, throw down my cup of coffee in anger. But actually, you know, the film is about kind of bringing people into it. And sometimes you have to be aware of that stuff.
Yeah.
But then, it doesn't mean you can't be bleak, but there's bleak and there's bleak.
Yeah.
And sometimes I can be relentless.
But then that goes with me as well, with sometimes I can get a bit carried away and make things almost too cartoonish. Like, I got some feedback on a script the other day that something that probably should have been played a bit more seriously almost became like a bit gothic horror. And that could be my style, or it could be that it just doesn't quite work. I think it's just down to you as a writer to decide.
And also, again, it's good to listen to these notes, isn't it? I'm glad that we're in this situation where we're getting these notes at the moment, and we can go away and think about it and go, okay, do I want to be doing this?
Mm-hmm.
do I want to try and earn a living? Or maybe, you know, just the fact that we are different in the ways that we're different, we will have that, you know, effect on each other in some way. You know?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, and influence each other.
Draw each other in, and then we'll be the best writers ever.
Yeah.
Maybe not that far.
So, I think we're agreed this has been a useful film to watch for us.
Definitely.
Like they all are.
Yeah. And a great one for Confessions Day, everyone's favourite holiday.
Everyone's favourite holiday, yeah.
If you've got any confessions, leave them in the comments, messages on Instagram, films.apart.
Be very careful about it, though, because as we learned from, you know, Rodley Akala on The Dating Game.
Yeah, don't confess to too much. But, yeah, treat us like we're priests in a confession room.
And on that note.
Thanks for listening.
Peace.
Peace.
Bye.